Hi, this is Benjamin Kinnerick from Benjamin Kinnerick Blog. I'm very honored and privileged to have an opportunity to meet our fashion photo contest winner, Regan Chen, who lives in Toronto, Canada. Hi, Regan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very pleased about your submissions. They were excellent. I had a look at some of the other images that you've sent me for the posting we'll be doing after this interview about your work and about who you are and what you're doing right now. But as you know, the contest winner is in a position to pick my brain now. If there's anything I don't want to talk about in the interview, I may have to do some cuts and to perhaps there might be some very specific questions that, being that you are the winner, I don't want to share with the other people, because that wouldn't be fair to you. So go right ahead. This is your hour.
Okay, perfect. I have some help from my friends just to list all my questions, because first of all, English wasn't my first language, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, like, have you been to my website?
Yes, I have.
Okay. I just kind of want to know what you think of, the position I'm at, like, in terms of...
Well, can you be more specific? I'm not going to critique your website. You want me to talk about your work specifically?
Yeah, because I still think that I'm still finding my style, because I actually just started photography, like, in 2008.
Well, I'm impressed.
Oh, thank you.
I'm impressed, because when I started, I had never looked at a photo magazine or a fashion magazine, so you're way ahead of me, that's for sure. But go ahead. Okay, you started in 2008. Well, that's great.
Yeah, and then that was because I attended Seneca College for digital photography. So when I started, the year of 2008 to 2009, I kind of did everything. I started with landscape, and then I tried wedding photography, and, you know, like portraiture, and, you know, just everything, like general photography. And then in 2009, we stepped into third semester, which was all about shooting people.
Okay.
So we had these assignments, you know, just to shoot, like, in studio, on location. And then I kind of want to try something different than the given assignment. So then I started to realize that I have a thing for fashion. Okay. I don't know. Yeah.
Now, would you, just for my edification, which college did you study photography at?
Seneca College.
Oh, Seneca, of course. Yes, yes. Yes, I know it. Course.
Yeah, and it's actually a fairly new program. Like,
How do you like it? And how many years is the program?
It's 2 years. 2 years program.
Okay.
And yeah. I like it because I learned some business, like photography business, from the program. It seems like it's the only program, like, in Toronto that, you know, teaches you photography business.
Ryerson doesn't.
Ryerson doesn't.
Really?
As far, no.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
How old are you, Regan?
I'm 23.
Oh, you're a baby.
Yeah, for some people. Yeah. I like it, but, like, in terms of the techniques, they taught us very, like, general, basic knowledge, like, in terms of the techniques and skills.
Well, that's good, actually. I think the less technique they teach you, the more apt you are to make a very, very positive accident. And I think, how are they about experimentation? How open are they to breaking the rules? Are they?
It's kind of hard for me, though. They didn't say that they dislike my work, but they are not really that impressed, because none of the teacher is like portrait or fashion photographer. Like, there's a landscape photographer, there's architecture. So when I present, especially the submission I did,
yes,
it's actually for the a portrait portrait assignment, right?
Oh, the submission that you won on was a portrait assignment.
Yeah, that was like location lighting portrait
mm-hmm.
assignment.
Okay.
Yeah. He wasn't impressed though. Like,
well, Reagan, pardon my interruption. May I?
Yeah.
First off, you've just said something very poignant. You mm-hmm. said that none of your teachers had done fashion or beauty or any of that type
yeah.
of photography. So first off, if I may suggest, mm-hmm. I wouldn't ask them what they think. Mm-hmm. I would just present it to them and say, this is what I did, because mm-hmm. it's like asking, a plastic surgeon what they think of the job that you've done, and what you do is you're a cardiologist. I mean, it really, I'm sure you listened to my interview on my blog. I think it's important to identify what you feel, what you like, what your sentiments are, how you interpret a fashion theme in mm-hmm. your own way. I think one of the things I have found is that there are so many assistants out there that I've met who have assisted a multiplicity of photographers. And in doing so, they garnered a lot of information, but some of them lost their own identity. And I think it's important not to be afraid with breaking with convention. And I think one of the reasons that you won that contest is because what you did broke with convention. You did something, whether it was accidental or intentional, it worked. What was great about it was that in the upright image, you had a plan américain, which is from about the waist up, where you had a really kind of sense, it was an in-your-face image. And then mm-hmm. what you did was you inverted a full silhouette, which forces the person to look at it mm-hmm. and to study the image. And I think it had very, very powerful, what we call an advertising stopping power. And I also liked the fact that you weren't technically perfect. I liked it because it made you stop and look, and it wasn't perfect. I like the fact that you were courageous enough to make that kind of a statement. In response to your question about looking at your website, I wrote an article about why I don't critique people's work.
Yeah.
And that's for many reasons. One of the reasons is that who am I to critique your work? I'm just another individual who is doing images as you are. And you have your own view on reality. You see things in a, I mean, I'm looking at your, I'm scrolling down right now, and I'm looking at the work that you submitted. And I must say, you have a very good eye. You have a natural understanding of composition. You have a very, interesting sense of beauty. But then again, that's a great thing in that you're Asian. And mm-hmm. what I find is that people like Wan Kawai and some of the Sholan soccer, and I find that the Asian sensibility to aesthetic is very different than what we in the West are accustomed to. And I find that very appealing. Uh-huh. And perhaps the reason maybe the Asian magazines want to work with me is I'm kind of a hybrid between mm-hmm. being born in Canada and living in Europe for over 20 years.
Yeah.
So I kind of can bridge that sensitivity. Well, I think what you've done, you're doing exactly the opposite of me, but it's exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. You have an Asian eye living in an Occidental Caucasian environment. Uh-huh. And so you have this beneficial, you're kind of a hybrid. It's like mm-hmm. my friend Walter Chin
Oh, really?
Oh, I've known Walter I've known for years. Walter was was a groupie of my punk rock group I used to play in when he was studying at Ryerson Polytechnic before it was a university. Uh-huh. And I got him his first job in Paris. He was a huge star in Canada, and he moved to Paris and didn't do anything for over a year, and he called me one day and said, Canera, can you help me out? Mm-hmm. And I introduced him to Marie-Josée and Mère Jaloux of L'Official magazine, and I got him his first job. Yes, sorry.
It's interesting because when I was still in school, like last year, there was this photographer, Kim Kwon.
Yes.
He came to school for to do a speech, and then he's actually a good friend of Walter Chin.
Yes.
And he said Walter Chin left him his studio in Toronto after he moved out of Toronto.
Yeah, he moved to New York, and then he moved to. Actually, no. He first moved to Paris, and I won't talk about that story because it's already on one of my interviews. But basically, he was a very bright man. He wanted to shoot for Elle magazine, but couldn't get into Elle. So what did he do? He shot Elle style in L'Official, and kept pushing the old art director, Fouli Elia, to give him a portrait, give him anything. He finally gave him this horrible knitting photo at the very last page of Elle magazine. He did it. It was okay. Then they gave him a portrait. And then they finally gave him a very small story, and it worked. And after several months of working at Elle magazine and L'Official, Alexander Lieberman, the art director of Vogue, of Condé Nast in the U.S., called him and said, I'm flying you in by Concorde. I want to give you a contract. And that's how it all happened. So, anyways, that's enough of Walter Chin.
I also have a question. So,
yes. Well, anyways, just before you continue, looking at your work and looking at your website, look, I won't critique your work. You have a style. What I will say, though, as I've said on many occasions, what differentiates a great image and a not-so-great image is not the photography. In fact, you could stick someone up against a gray seamless and have a horrible image or have an incredible image, and it all comes down to the team, the styling, the model, the hair, the makeup, and the theme. And if you don't have all of those elements, your image is only as good as the weakest link in the whole process. You know, so what I'm saying is that with what you have available to you, and Toronto is not a bad city to be in, it's a good upper echelon provincial market, you can produce good images, and you've done very well considering the limitations.
Okay. Yeah, because I actually find it really hard to put up a team, especially when no one has the budget.
You don't need a budget. I'll help you on this. You don't need a budget because everything works on this hierarchical level, this hierarchical ladder. It's let's kind of draw an analogy. You're in your first year of school, and in your first year of school, you have your first year of school fashion stylist. You have your first year of school makeup artist, your first year of school prop stylist, your first year of school hair stylist. What I suggest to many people is it's an exchange of talent to produce a project. What you're doing is you're saying, look, invest in this project. We will all benefit. We will all get images for our books. We all work together towards a goal of putting together not a model test. That's not what we're talking about. Let's throw that out. That's a waste of energy. A model test is a term I don't want to use. In fact, the word test is a term I don't want to use. I want to call it a personal work. What is a personal work? Pardon me, I'm choking on something. Excuse me.
That's okay.
A personal work is something that you're doing for personal reasons, and that is towards a goal. So what I often suggest to people is rather than wasting your energy on doing a model test, which will get you nowhere because you're doing it basically just for the model, if you're going to do a personal work, it is a test, but what you're doing is you're getting a model, hair and makeup artist, a clothing stylist, perhaps a manicurist, and if you can, a prop stylist, and you're saying the following. Reagan Chen is going has an idea. What he'd like to do is a story about Paris, mm-hmm. even though he's in Toronto. So what does Reagan do? Well, how can I do a story about Paris and Toronto? What do I want it to be? Well, I want to find a brasserie in Toronto that looks like a Parisian restaurant. I want it to look like a guy who's meeting a girl, or a girl who's alone in a bar, who's very unhappy, and blah 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 blah. And so you're building up a storyboard, like you would for a film. So you have a story now, and what are you doing? Reagan wants to do an 8 to 10 page fashion editorial. He wants to replicate a fashion editorial. So you can do that with 6 images. You could do 3 double page, mm-hmm. so you know, and maybe 3 or 4 single page, and you got yourself a 9 to 10 page story. So you put together the story, you shoot it with the intent of replicating what an art director or a fashion editor or a beauty editor would expect to see in a magazine. And that is, I want to see that Reagan Chen could give me a story. I want to know that Reagan Chen would be able to come to me and do a real story. Even if it's simple, even if it's in the studio, you would sit down with the fashion stylist and say, well, what is our theme? Well, our theme is black and white, or mm-hmm. red, or bloodshot eyes. The story is bloodshot eyes, so maybe you're shooting everything in red, you know, mm-hmm. Maybe red against a red backdrop. But there always has to be a thread running through the whole mm-hmm. story to have a reason to exist. That's where 99% of most of the photographers that I meet on forums or on my blog are weakest. They don't understand that what a fashion beauty advertising photographer does is mm-hmm. create stories. And so I don't know if that helps you, but I think I got a bit off topic, but sorry about that.
It definitely helps. So do you still think Toronto is a good place to stay, though?
I think Toronto is a great place to start. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great place to start. They have all of the major model agencies there. They have some great models that have come out of Toronto. Shalom Harlow is one example. They have Next Agency, Ford Agency. Yes, I think Toronto is, Walter started there, I started there. I can name many photographers who started there and uh-huh. perhaps moved on to New York or L.A. or Paris or London. You can put together very credible shoots in Toronto, but you have to be extremely vigilant and very picky about your styling. The collections are available there. They're not really far behind what is available. I mean, once it's shown in Paris, the collections are available. You just need to, you need to find a stylist who has access to the press offices who are willing to say, okay, let's lend them some clothes and we'll do an exchange with Reagan Chen and say, okay, you want us to give you clothes, you give us the images and we can use it for our press kit. So you're going to have to make those kinds of trades, trade-offs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see. Can I ask you, while you were still in Toronto, which company did you contact?
When I started?
Yeah.
Well, it's really weird. Well, first off, the way I started, I never studied photography. I never knew anything about photography. And the only thing I knew about photography was what I learned in architectural school and how to develop black and white film. And that was for shooting architectural details, blah, blah. My situation is difficult to replicate. I met my second ever shoot, I met a model on the subway. I knew she was a model. And I saw her book and asked her if she wanted to do a test. And we contacted a boutique who lent us some clothing, and that boutique invariably ended up using my images for their boutiques, and they used my images for advertising their boutique for several months. That was an accident. Mm-hmm. The way I did it was when things started to get rolling, before I had an agent, I would contact ad agencies. I would contact clothing manufacturers. Your position now in Toronto, unfortunately, isn't what it used to be. I know that Montreal has picked up a lot more business, and I think Montreal is probably the place to be more than Toronto today because they have all of the major clothing manufacturers like Fairweather's, Big Steel. But you can do the two. You can travel between Montreal and Toronto. That's not a big problem. I mean, you have to weigh which is a better place to be. You have to start to contact all of the manufacturers and ask them, do you need catalogs? Do you need do you need press kits? And they all do. They all need to show their new collections to the potential buyers, the potential retail outlets. You know, you have manufacturers of clothing who sell to retail outlets, and you also have the retail outlets who also advertise. So, and then there's, of course, the magazines. Now, that's a different issue. I don't know the scene in Toronto. I worked for Flair magazine. I worked for Chatelaine. But it's been years since I've done that. I don't know what kind of editorial possibilities there are there. But to get to that level, you're going to have to do a lot of editorial-looking shoots to impress them. And once you do that, then you can go and see the people like Bonnie Horowitz, whoever's, I think she's still at Flair, find out who the editor-in-chief is there, find out who the art director is there. That's another discussion we can have. Who makes the decision? It really depends on the magazine, you know. So you have to start building up your source material of who does what in the manufacturing sector. Find out how often they do their catalogs, how often they do press kits, and you'll find there are tons and tons and tons of manufacturers and retailers who need work to be done. They're all on different levels. The last time I ever did anything for a Canadian client was when I was living in Paris. And they knew I was coming to Toronto, and they picked me up, and I ended up doing Fairweather, Big Steel, Creed's. But they were paying me my Paris rates, and... I don't know what the daily rates are in Toronto. I think for an upper intermediate, upper echelon Toronto photographer, they're looking at $5,000 to $8,000 a day, plus royalties, or maybe more, up to $10,000 a day in Canadian dollars. But I don't know who the big shooters are in Toronto. Do you? I don't know.
The big shooter?
The big shooters in Toronto. Yeah.
I think Mario.
I don't know. You see,
Mario. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. In Toronto.
I know Walter can't shoot in Toronto. They can't afford him. You know.
Really?
Oh yeah. There's no way they can pay him what he gets. They can't pay him $30,000 to $40,000 a day. There's just no way. You know.
Yeah, like I never made more than like the grand out of photography so far.
That's pretty good, considering you've only...
I see. Would you, like, do you shoot something else other than fashion? Like, wedding
no.
or...
No. Not even, no. I have no interest, and I wouldn't do it. You can't do... No. I mean, look, you're in Toronto, so you got to wear many hats to survive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just not politically correct to do that. Mm-hmm. You would be shooting yourself in the foot. That would be taking a major step down the ladder. You cannot do that. You can't. I mean, I can shoot celebrities, which I have, and which I don't honestly enjoy doing, but I have for Vogue Brazil. I shoot a lot. Paulo Coelho. I shot Madame Missoni of Missoni in Milano. I shot Sisley. But those are fashion designers, so yes, of course I'll shoot them. Mm-hmm. But I only do fashion, beauty, photography, and advertising.
I see. Yeah, because right now most of my income are from shooting wedding. I mean, I don't like it, but like at this point, I feel like I have to.
Yeah, like Jeremy Clay, another guy I met on the forums. He's a great photographer. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Clay only shoots weddings, and he's now starting to do fashion. Mm-hmm. And what you're going to need to do is mm-hmm. What you can do is perhaps go to those agencies. You know, you have my blessing to say you won the Benjamin Canera contest, and you want to start testing with some of their models. Your book right now is in a good mm-hmm. enough position mm-hmm. To start getting some new models at some of the better agencies.
Yeah,
you should be able to go to Next and Ford and mm-hmm. Elite and say, look, and that's something we'll discuss offline. If you have any resistance with any of the agencies, mm-hmm. I will make a call and they'll take care of you. I mean, I'll just make one phone call to them and say, look, because I know Next in Paris, that's where we,
you know. Oh my God. Oh my God. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
No, that I will do. There's no problem. what you can do initially is say you were recommended by me and we'll set all that up. You can call those agencies, the ones that are, you know, like Next and Elite, and if you have any problems, I'll just call Next in Paris and have them make a call, and that'll open up the door for you.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Well, that's well, you're the winner, so that's part of the deal. So.
I also have a question. Like, let's say for, like, you're shooting Bazaar China.
Yes.
Right? I'm just wondering, like, how do you feel about the industry? Because I was wondering, like, how come, like, the magazine in China will ask, like, a Paris photographer to do the editorial?
Yeah, that's a very good question. That's always been the case. Here's how it works in the industry.
Yeah.
First off, Harper's Bazaar China is the number one biggest selling Harper's Bazaar in the world. It sells between 750 and 800,000 issues per month, and I'm privileged to be working with them. I'm also working for several other Harper's Bazaars around the world. Now, the reason they do this is the major collections are primarily in Paris, New York, and London, and then you have the Tokyo collections, and now Shanghai, which is becoming very important. What happens is when we have our prêt-à-porter, which are ready-to-wear collections, or haute couture in Paris, which we only have one haute couture, and that's Paris.
Mm-hmm.
All of the magazines come to watch the collections.
Yeah.
And because I'm here, they're going to want to have a Paris-based photographer who has access, number one, to good fashion stylists who mm-hmm. have access to all of the press offices. And they're going to want to shoot it here because they want to have immediate access to the collections. They don't want to have to wait 2 or 3 months to get them. By that time, they'll be too old or too late. So, mm-hmm. you know, they all come to Paris, to Milano, to Milan, I should say, New York and London for their fashion weeks. And, mm-hmm. Of course, I'm also shooting for Vogue Brazil, and they have their Southern Hemisphere collections. But I'm shooting a lot less for Vogue Brazil because they're a Southern Hemisphere magazine. So when they're showing their winter collections, we're showing our summer collections. But I shoot for them primarily for special occasions when I did a special Chanel. But I shot that Chanel story several months ago. It's only coming out in the July issue, which is their winter issue. So the reason Chinese Bazaar, or I'm also shooting for Hong Kong Bazaar, and I'm shooting for Bazaar Latin America, is because first off, I'm in Paris. I have a very special relationship with the editors and chiefs of those magazines.
Yeah.
And also because I've been doing it for 30 years. And so I have a resume. I've worked for several other major magazines, and also they want my particular style. And mm-hmm. If you want to have a style, you go to the photographer who can give you that style. But the market's moving. It's moving to Asia. It's moving to South America as well, because Brazil is one of the three large booming industries. That's why the term they use is BIC, BIC.
Yeah.
Brazil, India, and China. And how I, you know, basically I met with the major representatives of Harper's Bazaar. And so what they'll do is they'll do exactly that. They'll shoot, you know, they'll also shoot in New York. But they won't shoot with me in New York. They'll shoot with photographers in New York when they're doing their collections in New York. Or they may shoot in Milan, but rarely. In most cases, they'll shoot in Paris because we have access to much better teams than they do in Milano. Milano has lost its credibility over the last few years. You won't get the kinds of teams in Milano that you get in Paris or New York or London. So they know at Harper's Bazaar China that I'll be able to put a great team together here with the best hair and makeup and stylists in the world. And that's why they do it. And that's why they're so excited about what we just did, which you had privy to one of the images, which,
I'm wondering, like, for that particular image, or, like, in general, do you do your own Photoshop, or you have someone else?
No,
I
don't.
Okay.
I'm okay to do general retouching, but no.
Yeah.
Freddie Baby in Paris, she does all of my retouching. Uh-huh. For this specific job, though, the one you're referring to for Harper's Bazaar China, the one that's coming out July 10th, we used two different retouching companies. We used a company out of New York called DigitalRetouch.net, who did all of our comping and all of our montage work. And Freddie Baby did all of the model work, all of the fluidity, all of the skin retouching. Because we had to do it that way. It was a time problem. We had to have two companies working at the same time to produce it. And this is the first time I've ever done a major comping job. 99% of the time, it's basically my lighting and Frederick's work. And subtle adjustments, of course. I don't do it on my own.
I see.
Do you do your own retouching?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For now, as far as
Well, you know, some photographers like it that way, but if you start getting busy, you just don't have the time to do both.
Mm-hmm. But it's hard to find someone, you know, like your style kind of matches, and you know what you are aiming for. You know, I tried that twice, but it didn't work out that way.
well, then again, yeah. Okay. Look, it all comes down to the briefing you give them.
Yeah.
If they want to work on a project with you, it's there you go. There you go. You just added another team member. Then you brief them and you give them a mood board or a storyboard. A mood board is very important to give them. We gave Digital Retouch pretty well carte blanche. They knew what the concept was, which I won't discuss now, but they knew what it was heading for. We gave them a lot of direction. We sent them a lot of material. And the guy is one of the best. Andrew Matusik is an incredible. He specializes in doing comping more than skin. It's Stuart Price who does all the skin stuff at that company. But if you have a really creative comping artist or retouch artist, you should let them fly, because if they're going to contribute to a non-paying shoot, you give them a briefing. You can guide them. And let them surprise you, but they have to be, in you choosing them, you have to be able to make sure that what you saw in their book tells you, Reagan, that guy is good at what he does, and I want to use him. You know what I mean? You have to have some proof that they're capable of doing what you want.
Mm-hmm. I see. It's hard.
Why, you're having problems finding the kind of retouch artist who can give you what you want?
And also, like, a stylist, and it's pretty much everything, because I start being more picky right now, but, like, just when I started, I was like, well, anyone, you know, just anyone could do, because it would be great, because at that time I had no portfolio at all, so just, like, I would just accept anyone.
Yeah, but the more, you know, it's interesting, Reagan, the more images you start getting in your portfolio, the easier it'll get to find people to work with you.
Yeah, it's definitely easier. Yeah.
I mean, if you get a better model from an agency, that agency can recommend to you a hair, makeup artist, and stylist that could work, especially if you tell them, look, I want to do a personal work, and if it's good, then I can do a submission to the multiplicity of magazines around the world that accept submissions to be published. There are still a lot of magazines, even online magazines like Hint Magazine, who accept submissions, and if it's strong, they'll publish it, and it'll get you some exposure. And all you need is that exposure, and once you have that exposure, you can do a mailing and send it out to art directors and fashion editors, and say, have a look at what I just did, and not asking if they like it, because you do that, you bring yourself down. To say, I'd like to share some of my new projects with you.
Okay.
Don't ask them what they think, because if you ask them what they think, they still think you're a student.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
so, instead of asking a question, just like make a statement like, oh, I would like to share this with you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because if you're going in as an equal, you know, look, not everyone's going to like my work, but I'm not going in asking what they think.
Yeah.
I never do that because this is who I am. Here, I want to show you what I did. And they'll say, well, it's not for me. It's not our style. And that's it.
Uh-huh.
You know, or someone else will say, yeah, I like it. And then, you know, well, the next, and then you say, well, what's the next step? Mm-hmm. Let's do a project together. You know, you have to be very bold and ballsy. You have to have the audacity to say, hey, look, I'm ready. And to say I'm ready isn't walking in and asking them what you think.
Uh-huh.
You know, an art director knows if you're ready. And when you're ready, you could say, this is what I do. I want to share it with you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know when you're ready to do that. If you're not ready, that's fine. You can say, look, what do you think? What do you think I should do to be ready? And then they take you under their arms and say, okay, why don't you do this, you know, and why don't you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to decide. Mm-hmm. You have to decide what message do I want to give to that potential person. You certainly don't want to do it with potential commercial work. You don't want to ask an art director of a catalog company, a manufacturer, what do they think? Because they're going to say, well, when you're ready, come back, you know? So you have to decide what message do you want to give them in communicating who you are.
Yeah. And that just remind me of another question. Is there any, like, I wouldn't say hidden rules, but just something I shouldn't touch at all, just that would, no.
Burn your bridges?
Yeah.
Oh, I've burned so many. I can tell you all kinds of ways of burning your bridges.
You burned any already?
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, everyone does. Some more than others. Well, there's one little rule. Well, no, I guess you're not there yet, but you'll understand that, for example, if I, you know, in working with Harper's Bazaar in China, I won't be working with Vogue China because those are arch rivals. I can work for a Vogue in another country. There are rivalries between magazines. I won't shoot for Elle magazine because, number one, it's not a magazine I really want to work for because I really don't like what they do. The magazines I want to work with are Harper's Bazaar and Vogue. There are some things you won't do, like you won't. I think it probably exists in Canada. If you work for Chatelaine, there's a very little chance you'll work for Fashion Magazine because they look down on Chatelaine. So really set your goals very precisely and go for them because if you come in too low and if you work for magazines that are really considered very, I don't know.
Lifestyle?
Well, you know, there's some magazines that produce very shitty stuff and it's too commercial.
Okay.
And to be very blunt, and if you want to work for Fashion Magazine, which is the best magazine in Canada, I think, you don't want to work for Chatelaine because it's, you know, a piece of, you know. If they had a Vogue Canada, that would be where you want to go, or a Harper's Bazaar Canada. But so you have to be very selective about what your goals are, and you go for them, and you suffer the consequences of setting your goals very high. Mm-hmm. I mean, my very first job in Paris was the haute couture for L'Officiel.
Okay.
But because I worked for L'Officiel, Vogue wouldn't touch me. And so it took me a long time to get into Paris Vogue, and I had to leave L'Officiel to get into it. Uh-huh. And you have to make decisions. Uh-huh. And you have to decide, because you'd be very careful. If you work for a magazine that's considered crap by that magazine you really want to shoot for, it's going to take a long time to undo that damage.
But at that time, did Vogue tell you the reason why, like, they didn't want to use you?
Yeah, they don't say it. You just know it.
Oh, okay.
They see, what was this for? L'Officiel. They go, oh, okay. And that's it. The signals are often, they're often muffled and not very clear. But you know, because every time you try to get in, you're just not getting there.
Okay.
There are a lot of errors you have to avoid. Like, you have to know who to talk to for the job. Because if you ask the wrong person, and someone finds out you asked them instead of the right person, that's another way of burning yourself. You have to know who really is in a position of power to make a decision. And that is the art of discernment. I buried myself for Elle magazine years ago when I thought I wanted to work for them. By accidentally meeting the president of the whole publishing company.
Yeah.
By accident, I was, en route to seeing the guy in the same building, the art director, whose name I won't mention because he knows how much I love him. But I was being sarcastic. I met the president of Hachette Filipacchi. And I saw his dog. There was a dog in the hallway, and I love animals. And I got down on my knees and started playing with this puppy. And the guy looked at me. He's wearing a suit and tie. And he said, who are you? And I said, my name's Benjamin. And he said, what do you do? I said, I'm a photographer. He goes, I guess you're here to see so-and-so. I said, yes. And so-and-so happened to walk down the hallway, look at me, see me in front of the president. And he said, come with me, Benjamin. And he said to me, if you ever try to get a job behind my back, don't ever do that again. I said, what are you talking about? And he never worked with me because he thought I was trying to go behind his back by going over his head to get the job at that magazine. So it's very political.
Yeah, sounds like already.
Well, it's like anything, I guess. Everything's political.
Yeah.
So my question is, what do you want, Reagan?
Me?
Yeah.
I really want to get into shooting like campaigns, like I don't know. Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite photographer?
Yes, I do.
And the name will be?
Reagan Chen.
No way.
I don't have one favorite photographer. I guess I have a few. One of my favorite photographers is Paolo Reversi.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who he is?
No.
Well, you should. Paolo Roversi, Roversi. He's one of my favorite photographers, and when you see his work, you'll understand why. Yeah, if you go to my blog, I list 7 or 8 of my favorite photographers. And,
okay.
There are a lot of good shooters, and there are a lot of good people who shoot like shit but have great post-production, What people like about my work is when I do a shoot, it almost looks identical to the final product because I'm actually able to light it.
Yeah.
I mean, lighting is an art in its own right, but it should never take over the theme.
Mm-hmm.
Lighting should be used to enhance a story, not to impose onto a story. You don't want people looking at the story and going, wow, nice lighting. You want to look at the story and go, wow, this is an incredible image.
Yeah.
And then go, well, why do I love the image? Well, because it has an ambience. Now, how did you achieve that ambience? Was probably due to your understanding of styling, getting a message across, cropping it, putting it in a way that, and translating it and using lighting. Mm-hmm. But sometimes lighting is used to make a picture look ugly because that's what they wanted to do, like Terry Richardson.
Yeah.
Terry Richardson saying, fuck lighting. I want it to look like I just took it off. You know, it's all a question of what you're trying to say and who you are.
Yeah.
You can't fake being Terry Richardson. Terry Richardson is Terry Richardson.
Yeah.
That's why he is who he is, because he says what he says with what he's using the tools to be Terry Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm
mm-hmm.
sure Terry could do an incredibly choreographed lighting setup because he has the background to do that. But he said, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to use my flash on camera and I want to do it that way. And I want to capture the moment I don't want to waste my energy putting my lights together to get the moment. I want to do it here and now.
Breaking the rules, eh?
Well, no, he's setting rules.
Oh.
You see, that's what's great. You know, when you reach a certain point in your career, you don't break rules, you make them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't follow any rules. I just do whatever I want because I want to do it. And I often experiment on the set. And mm-hmm. I love making mistakes. I learn every time I do a shoot. So, you know,
I
mean, one of the rules I learned to break was when you set up your lights and you think your model is going to be in one position, you think you set up your lights for you being in a specific position,
mm-hmm.
do your shot, but then break that position and just go around the model and shoot her from every possible position and see what happens.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll be very pleasantly pleased with the outcome.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Always keep yourself in check. Watch yourself as you're shooting. Go, okay, did I get what I think I wanted to get? Now, let's spend some time breaking mm-hmm. with what I thought I wanted, and let's do something totally different. Maybe I shouldn't be standing parallel to the model. Maybe I should be lying on the floor and shooting, and maybe I should be, you know, putting my hand in front of the camera, or maybe I should be shooting with the flash right into my lens, and maybe I should pull off those scrims and let the light take off my lens hood and let it bleed, and maybe I should overexpose it, maybe I should underexpose it,
mm-hmm.
maybe I shouldn't do anything, maybe I should tell the model to just walk off the set and I'm going to follow her, just anything, just to break with convention.
Well, you just asked what I want to do.
Reagan, hold on 1 second. We have a problem. You're breaking up. Repeat your question.
Oh, okay. I say, back to what you just asked me, like what I want to do. I have three favorite photographers. One is you, and then the other two are Stephen Meisel and Stephen Klein.
Oh, it's funny. I know Steve Meisel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He used to shoot the same studio as me on 19th and Broadway in New York.
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead. I can.
Oh,
what do you want to know about Stephen? What do you want to know about Meisel?
It's not like I want to know, but it's what I want to do. Like, what they're doing is what I want to do. Like, to do editorial, but at the same time, have this really big
production.
Yeah, production. Like, every picture, like, I see from them, it's like, wow. It's like a new statement, you know?
First off, what I can say is, for me, Stephen Meisel is a chameleon. I'd like to still know who Stephen Meisel is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's good at being Avedon. He's good at being many, many photographers. I'd love to meet Stephen Meisel.
Yeah.
He's very good at what he does. He knows how to do a huge production.
Yeah.
He knows, and there's no secret why Stephen Meisel is Stephen Meisel, or Klein is Klein,
mm-hmm.
or Satoshi is Satoshi, or whoever. Those photographers are doing exactly what a photographer is supposed to do, and that is get a great team. And Stephen Meisel puts a lot more money into his productions that come out of his pocket for major magazines to get the production. If that magazine has a specific budget and that's all they have, he will make sure he can get that production done anyways, because it's very important for him to get that production, because getting that production out and seen will get him the huge campaigns. So It becomes a joy to do these. It's like doing a movie, you know?
Yeah.
When I did the Chinese Harper's Bazaar shoot, we had a budget. I won't tell you what it was, but I can tell you that for all intent and purposes, we went way over budget. But it didn't matter because everyone wanted the shoot to happen so badly. So everyone did the shoot for whatever they were being paid to get that final result, which you saw. And it does look impressive, you know, if you know what I'm saying. So that's why we have to go back to square one. And I said to you, well, look at Reagan. If you can get your team together, there's no reason that you cannot do the same quality of work as Steven Meisel if every individual in the team are giving you the quality and level of creativity that he has. Now, the only problem you have in Toronto is at which point in Toronto does the fashion stylist leave for New York or leave for Paris or the hair and makeup artist? Because you reach a point where you can only go so far in Toronto and then you have to move on. So what you're going to get is the best possible group of individuals to come together and, you know, express themselves to the highest level of aesthetic possibility. Mm-hmm. And they're going to leave. I mean, Steve Marino, he left Canada. Gordon Espinay, who's the creative director for MAC Cosmetics, started in Toronto. And his first job was with me, and he's now in New York. Steven Meisel's secret is a lot more to do with also he's got the backing of Italian Vogue and Franca Cesani, who gives him carte blanche to do whatever he wants. So what you need is a very high-end magazine to believe in you, to publish your work, and to say, I love what you do, let's do something outlandish. Mm-hmm. That's what Harper's Bazaar said to me. They said, Benjamin, we want something sensational. We want it to be show-stopping. Mm-hmm. And as you can see from what I sent you, I believe we accomplished our goal.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, you know, there are very few magazines in the world who give you that kind of freedom. A lot of the trendy press does. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, why I suggest you go to the trendy press is you can put a team together and but be very aware that there's a very fine line between looking polished and looking provincial.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to try to find the best model, hair, makeup, styling.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know enough about what's going on, Reagan. You have to be able to look at a presentation and say, this has not got the polish that an Italian Vogue or a Japanese Vogue or a Harper's Bazaar UK or Harper's Bazaar China are going to do, or Korea. You have to know. You have to have the eye to know that this is a world-class image.
Yeah.
Do you have that eye? And I believe you do. I think you have that potential. You have to start looking at all the major magazines.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'll keep trying.
Are you doing that? Are you looking at...
Yeah, I do actually.
Good.
We only have 8 minutes, right?
No, I'm not that. I'm not.
Oh, okay. I also have a question for you. Because I know you kind of don't go the mainstream. In terms of fashion photography.
It's an interesting question.
Look,
it's not that I don't. I haven't. I used to shoot a lot for L'Officiel Homme, for men's stuff. When I shot for West East magazine, the Chinese magazine, when we did the Wan Kawai In the Mood for Love story, I used guys. I'm doing a shoot for Harper's Bazaar shortly that I may need to use a man for because of the story, which I can't tell you, but it's a story where you have to have a child, woman, a man, and I will use men when it's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I agree. I've done some, but no, I haven't done as much as I'd like to. But sure, mm-hmm. if the opportunity came up, I would do it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I think it would be very beneficial for you to also to shoot a lot more beauty, because that's where you get your cosmetics campaigns.
Yeah.
That's where I'm quite weak. I should be doing more beauty, and I do have a major beauty story coming out next week in Vogue Brazil, and will be doing so also for Harper's Bazaar Singapore, a beauty story. But beauty is what really generates a lot of income, because that's where all the money is, in cosmetics, in beauty products, perfumes, et cetera, et cetera. That's something you could also consider.
So when you work with these companies in Asia, you always have a translator, right?
No, they speak English most of the time.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
No. The major magazines all speak English.
Oh, okay.
My Chinese is not great. No, but, no, but I should learn Chinese.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely.
Are you still using Pentax?
Depending on the job, yeah, I use Pentax, because why wouldn't I? It's a terrible answer. I don't care if you give me a Sony, a Pentax, a Nikon, or a Canon. It's all the same to me, because if I know what I'm being published in, and in most cases it's magazine, even the Pentax, what I'm using for almost 15 million pixels, is overkill. And yeah, I'm using it because Pentax gave me all the equipment, and they gave me thousands and thousands of euros of lenses, so why would I change? I mean, they just recently gave me a KX, even though I'm no longer sponsored by them.
I found your blog.
Yeah. I like Pentax. I love their lenses. The 70, I used the 70 on my last beauty shoot, and the 4, you know, the image I sent you from Harper's Bazaar, China, was all shot with the 40, the whole story.
The DA40?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's a scary sharp lens.
Yeah, it is. It is. I used to own one, but I sold it.
Why?
Because I got the 16 to 50. So.
No. I have the 16 to 50. The 40 is crazy. Right from 2.8 to 16.
Yeah.
It's almost a flat line. I mean, it's crazy. You can shoot it almost any. I mean, I shot that whole story around f7.1, and it is brutally sharp, and that's one lens. I use the 16 to 50 and the 12 to 24 a lot when I'm on location in a space. My shoot for Vogue, which is coming out in July, a Chanel story, was all shot with the 16 to 50, but always an optimal, you know, like f8, f36, you know, which gives you great sharpness. And
because mine just broke.
You're just broke.
Yeah, the autofocus failed.
Yeah. Pentax replaced my motor with a brand new motor even before they broke, both of them, my 50 to 135, because I didn't want it breaking, and it was starting to get a little weird. And my assistant said, "Benjamin, what's going on with your lens? It's not focusing." And you, during the video editing of the making of film, all the fuck words were removed from my, because I was screaming, going, "What's going on?" No, but you really have to. The new motor now is a totally new motor, and they should replace it for free. You know, they know they have a problem with that. But
that's actually how I started to know you, because I studied out of Pentax at that time. It was, you know, very affordable. And things like that. Have you ever got anyone, you know, like, I shouldn't say picky, but like, you know, in terms of the equipment that you use, like question?
Oh, no, never. Are you kidding? No. In fact, Frederick has been shooting all the videos with the KX.
Yeah.
And all I get is, "Oh my God, is that a cute camera? That's so beautiful." No one asks me. No one ever asked me. The only time that happened was for a major ad campaign, and they wanted the art director wanted to use medium format film, and I said no. And so I used a 50 million pixel back on a Blad, which I hate, because I hate the weight. I don't use tripods ever, so I don't like. That's why the 645D might be nice. I'll never buy it though. because I don't need it. If I need to use more resolution, I'll have the client will pay for the rental of it. But the K20 for me, first off, I think it's got better resolution than the K7. It's not as noisy, but and I'm always shooting at 100 ASA anyways.
Yeah.
And the 100 ASA of the K20D is incredible. It's almost 15 million pixels, and it's got an incredible rendition. And as you can see, I sent you the image. And any camera, you know, even the 550D Canon, there's no reason anyone should not be able to produce great work from any camera, anything from the K10D to the you know, the Nikon D90 and the all of those cameras. There's no really.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. What are you using? You're using a K20 or the K7?
K7, but okay. Yeah, like you said, K7. It's although it's the same sensor as the K20, but I found it a bit noisier. It's just weird. K7. Even if I shoot it at, you know, ISO 100, it's still pretty noisy.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, but I'm glad I didn't change, because I did update my software. There's a new firmware update for the K20, which is the 1.04, which rectified the autofocus problems.
Mm-hmm.
And, I won't go to... I'm going to wait for their next generation to see what they have. I won't change from Pentax, because I have so many lenses. Mm-hmm. I'll probably, you know, I would feel comfortable shooting a pro shoot with a KX, no problem.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I like the handling of a K7, though.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is great. But just the picture quality, it's somewhat missing. Yeah.
You notice at 100, even at 100, it was a little noisier than the K20?
Yeah, because I at that time, after I just bought the K7, I still kept my K20 for a while. So I did like a comparison. K7 is just noisier, annoying. Especially like because I'm doing Photoshop myself, right?
Okay.
It's hard to work with sometimes.
So why don't you just get another K20?
But I don't know. I just can't get rid of the handling of K7. But actually, after I sold some of my lenses from Pentax, I got into Canon.
Okay.
So now I'm using both, and then also not long ago I bought a used Phase 1 back from eBay.
What kind of back? Sorry.
It's the P30, the Phase 1.
Okay.
Digital. Yeah. And with the Mamiya, and it was only like $5,000.
How do you like it?
I like it a lot, like because especially it's really, I find it's really pleasing to do the retouching in Photoshop because it's just so clean, like at ISO 100.
Mm-hmm.
But I use all my Pentax 6.7 manual lenses,
okay,
you know, and adapted to the Mamiya. So it all worked out because I can also use that lens in some Pentax and Canon as well. So it's like my major is like, you know, equipment still Pentax, but now I don't care.
What are you using? Which Canon did you get? The 7D?
No, it's actually the DS Mark II.
Okay, 16 million, yeah. Oh, the DS Mark II or the... Okay.
Yeah.
The 16 million one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot noisier than the K20.
Not really. It's pretty clean. And then the ISO throughout, you know, from ISO 50 to 3200, mm-hmm, it's way cleaner than K7.
Okay.
K7, it's just a noisy camera.
Yeah,
so...
Well, I don't have that problem because I'm shooting at 100 ASA and ISO, and it's crazy. It's and don't forget, when you're publishing a magazine, the highest DPI you're going to get is like 170 if you're lucky. It's usually 133.
Really?
So, yeah, of course. You're going to see that.
300 DPI, wasn't it?
That's what you're supposed to give them, but don't forget you've got the tram. You're actually seeing the dots of the print.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you take a magnifying glass to a page, you're not going to see the grain. You're going to see the print, ink.
Oh, okay.
Dots, and so it's like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm. I also noticed like most of your work are shot indoor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, do you try to keep that as your signature, or you just don't like shooting outdoor?
Yeah, I've been asked this a million times. I don't really have a style outdoors. I've done it. Yeah, I've shot outdoors, but I consider interiors as a studio. If I shoot in an apartment, for me, that's a studio. That yeah. happens to be an apartment that has furniture in it. So mm-hmm. I like to control my light.
Yeah.
And so my signature is either when I shoot in studio, I have a style, or I have several styles. But no, the answer would be no. I really don't like shooting outdoors. Because mm-hmm. if you're going to shoot outdoors, why use me? Why not use someone who has a Steve Hyatt? Why not use Hans Fuhrer? Why not use mm-hmm. someone who has a style? Hans Fuhrer is known for shooting 400 millimeter 2.8, blow it mm-hmm. out, you know, or mirror lens, or, yeah. You know, no, I don't have a style, so no, I don't, you know. So I mm-hmm. never get hired to do all these great trips to Miami or to shoot mm-hmm. outdoors, because that's not what I do, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you feel comfortable shooting outdoors, great. I mean, what you did for your contest was great. It was outdoors at night, and it was outdoors at night, right?
Thank you. Oh, and I just want to say thank you, like, for the model, because she was so excited.
Oh, she was great.
She was actually a friend of mine. She's studying fashion communication in Ryerson University.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How tall is she?
She's 5'8".
Oh, she's, yeah, okay. Yeah,
yeah,
she's a little bit under the, but she's very pretty. She really.
Oh, yes, she is. And I like her styling, too.
Well,
so, yeah, I guess I asked all my questions.
Did you ask everything you wanted to ask, Reagan? You want to ask me anything else? No problem.
Yeah, I think I asked all.
Okay, Reagan, let's leave it at this.
Okay.
For your next shoot, put together mm-hmm. a story and a complete editorial as you would see it in a magazine. It should be anywhere from 6 to 12 pages.
Okay.
6 pages could be 4 images, 3 singles and a double, or 2 singles and 2 doubles, or an 8-page
yeah.
story.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggest you contact some model agencies.
Yeah.
Tell them who you were recommended by. Some will know me in Toronto, some may not. You can call Ford, you can call Next, you can call Elite. And if you have a problem with them, you know how to reach me, and I will make a phone call for you, and I'll get you in to make sure they give you models for your shoots. And you can start from there, and you know, after a few months, you'll have 6, 7, 8 stories. Then you can start making the rounds, seeing the magazines in Toronto, seeing potential clients, showing them your work, or show it to them on your laptop. It doesn't have to be hard copy. I don't show. I've stopped printing a portfolio. I'm just showing my work on my laptop, and that's more than enough.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay, Reagan.
Yeah.
I've got all your work for the story, and I hope that was helpful to you. I hope you got some answers.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Thank you so much.
All right, Reagan, take care.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.